listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim, here with Amanda, and we're glad to be highlighting one of North America's top site decision influencers. Amanda, you had a great conversation with Chris. Tell us about it.
Thanks, Tim. I did have the opportunity to speak with Chris Shastak. He is the vice president of CBRE in their Chicago office, and he works with their National Economic Incentives Group. He's had lots of great experience. Prior to joining CBRE, he was a member of Jones Lang LaSalle's Business and Economic Incentives Group, and he has an interesting story. He's got dual citizenship in Germany and the United States, and he's also a very active runner. He's finished the Chicago Marathon multiple times. So I think you're going to enjoy hearing the insights and the expertise that Chris has to share. He gave some really great answers to these questions that we've been asking over and over again, and I think you're really going to learn a lot from him.
Let's take a listen.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us today on North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we love to start with this question just to let our listeners get to know a little bit about you. What are three things that everyone who's listening today should know about you?
I'm a rabid Chicago Bulls fan. I'm a huge believer in pit bull rescues. And I've got an 8-week-old daughter at the time of this recording that now takes up all of my time.
Wow. Yeah, I bet you're staying busy with her. How fun. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about how you first got involved in site selection or why.
Yeah, sure. Coming out of college, I was positive that commercial brokerage was going to be the route that I was going to take, kind of your standard multi-market office tenant rep style work. But once I actually transitioned from kind of a role with JLL's East Coast operations to Chicago headquarters, I got involved with a kind of growing consulting practice there. And it was from kind of that period around 10 years ago where Jones Lang LaSalle, at the time, my employer, was really putting a stake in the ground, resulting in kind of the development of a true location advisory practice. So there I met my current partner, Eric Stavriotis, and it was kind of that early footing there of growing the national practice and then taking it to where we have it today.
So what caught your attention about the industry that made you want a career in it?
I think it's nuanced enough that I personally find it incredibly interesting. I'd say that every story, every engagement, every project, every initiative is always different. And the ability to see some of these projects in a life cycle from A to Z is pretty intriguing, kind of fruits of one's labor, for no pun intended, coming to fruition. Often, as many know that are potentially listening to this, those don't always go from A to Z. They go from A to D or A to P and then die. That happens, and that's the nature of the business. But I think wrapping together tried and true site selection, logistics analysis, kind of labor workforce, through kind of location advisory in conjunction with, an overall either tried and true real estate, an office deal, or a big manufacturing deal. There's a series of different disciplines that all come to a head and can be wrapped together. And I find it to be intriguing work. In this business, it's so often you meet people that are in the real estate business and they are kind of hyper-local. They are they're a single market practice or tenant rep team focusing on one locale. In this business, it's North America is defined as Canada, U.S., and Mexico, as well as the greater globe. So the ability to have projects that are looking in Singapore, looking in Quebec, or looking in Mexico City in conjunction with Tulsa, Oklahoma, brings a different type of person to the world of kind of location advisory site selection. And it was a world that I found myself enthralled with.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great assessment of it. And it's interesting to hear your take on the field and what makes you love it. Can you tell us what's maybe one inside secret that you've learned to lean on in all of your experience when you're assessing a community for a project?
Well, I guess the secret would be there are no secrets. With so many different folks, whether it's the city, the county, the state, whether it's the client, whether it's a big, you know, large commercial real estate operation or some other kind of consultancy, you know, data is at most people's fingertips these days. And to that end, I think it's not so much that there's some secret behind all of it. I think the secret is stepping back often and either refining, you know, the lens in which one looks through, or trying to determine, you know, what's the bigger picture here? What are we trying to accomplish? And making sure that you're wrapping everything together. I think it's, folks think it's, you know, run as fast as you can, get a deal done, move on to the next. But the fact of the matter is that these are not adversarial discussions in terms of site selection. You know, there's a real relationship that needs to get built between, especially the company and the municipality in which they're going to put a flag in the ground. So to that end, I think the secret is really focusing on the relationship side of things and making sure that, you know, the broader business case is really presented in a way that there's an equitable solution for both sides.
So you've mentioned, you know, everybody has data at their fingertips, and that a lot of the times it really comes down to building those relationships. So the next question I ask you might directly relate back to those answers, but what types of marketing strategies have you seen that either work best on you or are perhaps just most effective with your clients?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's asked frequently, and I think it really depends on obviously who you're talking to. But in my mind, it's just Chris speaking to a broader audience. The opportunity to meet an individual who's working or marketing a region or a state or doing business development or outreach or attraction, retention, whatever it may be, kind of face to face is paramount. It's nice to get, you know, a glossy flyer, an email that's touting the newest location announcement or CapEx investment. But then the opportunity to kind of meet someone, get to know somebody, start to kind of build a relationship is paramount. It doesn't have to be an expensive fam tour. And sometimes it's just a phone call, and that's the way these relationships start. You know, the ability to just get on the phone and kind of hear about what's keeping others busy, you know, to me is a lot more effective than it takes more time, but then blasting out, you know, just a newsletter. It's nice to hear the passion behind people's voices about what they're seeing and what they're really doing. I think it makes everything a lot more real.
Absolutely. So you've told us a little bit about what marketing strategies or relationship building strategies you think are probably most effective. Can you share with us what some of those key issues are that are facing your clients and your companies today, and maybe what economic developers and communities can do about it or do better?
Yeah, I think you're hearing, you know, clients continue to talk and obviously sharpen their pencils and look at costs, but I think the spotlight has really been shown pretty brightly on labor and pockets of labor, and then obviously specific types of talent. Obviously, you see STEM talent in general, kind of tech and IT at the forefront, but I think a lot of clients are trying to determine, you know, when dollars are scarce, where we're going to put this next capital investment and what kind of job growth are we going to see accompanied by it. You know, different types of projects vary in terms of how crucial a certain pool of labor is, but I think moreover, you're seeing companies really take a step back and spend the time on the front end of these initiatives, giving a long, hard look on the sustainability of the market when it comes to hiring the type of workforce they're going to need. So, you know, I think we've seen some really creative ideas recently with states as well as cities partnering with there's the common kind of community college partnership, but I think we've seen it go a step further in some markets where there's been a real partnership forged with the local four-year public or private university, where for the right project, you've got not only the state, the city, and the county, or maybe the utility participating, but also the four-year or two-year institution who's essentially setting up a potential, you know, runway kind of hiring platform that a lot of companies are looking for, where they really feel, you know, if I go to this market, we've set up a formalized partnership where this university is has set up, you know, a major or a minor, some kind of program where the labor is actually being created on a, you know, every year there's new talent coming out, and it's not guaranteed, but there's a sense that skill set that they require is potentially in the very market that they're looking to make the investment. I think sometimes that can make a decision, you know, pretty convincing for the right type of project.
Yeah, I'm glad that you addressed that, because we're also doing a Top 50 Economic Developers podcast track, and we ask the question, what keeps you up at night? And I think that, I don't know, of the ones I've done, probably 90% of them have said having the right labor force and workforce development is a key issue. So I'm glad that you were able to address that from the other side of the table today. So thank you. I will get you out of here on this last question. If you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would that be?
You're only as good as the people below you. I think team formation and economic development is something that's pretty crucial. It's great to have, you know, the best executive director or president or senior VP or you know, whatever the title may be, who's out there selling and pushing a region. But if you don't have the right team behind you that can truly do project management and help kind of facilitate and run a deal, whether it's a site visit or a conference call or just, you know, the transmission of information in conjunction with, you know, someone from research and someone who really knows your statutes and your legislative programs and the mechanics of the way your property tax abatement works or your corporate income tax or franchise tax is structured and the applicability of it. You know, there are plenty of one and two person operations that do a mighty fine job. But I'd say to most that, you know, a lean and mean team is crucial. And again, like in any business, you're only as good as the folks below you. So I think building a strong team starts from the top, but it's truly a right side up pyramid approach. I think that works best with a nice, strong team working, you know, kind of boots on the ground to keep the operation running while someone's out there selling.
Great advice, Chris. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. And congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants by your peers.
Thank you. I sincerely appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.